Good morning. For those who may be joining us for the first time, I am Pastor Brian. I'm excited to be worshiping with you online, whether you're online right now or whether you are watching later. You know, I've been thinking what a gift technology is, particularly in a time like this, that allows us to worship together virtually, like across time and space. It's kind of extraordinary when you think about it, isn't it? So this month with Clay Church, we're exploring the book of Jonah, and over the last 2 weeks, we come to realize that there's much more to this story than just a man and a fish. In fact, I proposed in our first week of this sermon series, and just want to remind us today that one of the ways we might think about the book of Jonah is to think of it as a mirror, helping us reflect on our own lives and on our own faith and on our own relationship with God. So let me quickly recap where we've been in Jonah, so we're all in the same place as we dig into the story today. Jonah hears a word of God. It tells him to go to Nineveh and essentially tell the Ninevites to turn away from their wicked ways. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. It was not a nice place. They were cruel to their enemies. They were even cruel to the poor among them. And they were the enemy of Jonah's people. And so Jonah responds to God and he says, thanks for the invite, but no thanks. And just in case you think I might still think about this, I am going to go as far as I can go in the other direction. Just a note, this is Brian's translation. This is not exactly how it says it in the Bible. So God sends a storm as Jonah is on this boat going in the other direction. And the ship's crew, they end up throwing Jonah overboard. It's not their first choice, but they can't do anything else to calm the storm. And Jonah tells them to throw him overboard. And so Jonah is thrown overboard. The storm does stop. And in this sort of beautiful moment, the sailors on the ship turn their lives to Jonah's God, to the one God. And we realize in the story that God is at work, Even as Jonah is running away. And then God sends a big fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah, in the belly of this fish, he prays. Right? He prays that he will trust God. He prays that he might turn away from idols and fulfill his vow to God. And then the fish, it spits Jonah up. Actually, the Hebrew translation is, the best translation is really vomits. The fish vomits Jonah onto the shore. That's a pleasant picture, huh? Right? And so we pick up the next sequel to the story. We might think of it as part three. As we follow what has to be like this stinky, gross, exhausted Jonah as he walks toward the city of Nineveh. So hold your nose, and here we go. Would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds in these moments and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A priest and a pastor were standing near a sharp curve in the road holding signs, busy road. The priest held up a sign and on it said, the end is near. And the pastor's sign said, turn around before it's too late. As he passed by, a jerk in a sports car yelled, idiots, and shook his fist at them. Then he blasted his horn, he raised a finger at them, and stomped on the gas. Moments later, the two clergy heard a screech of brakes, and then a splash. At that moment, the priest turned to the pastor and said thoughtfully, maybe we should just change our signs to bridge out. What message might God have for us today? Will we listen? That's what we're going to talk about from Jonah's story today. In fact, At the heart of today's message are five words that make up essentially Jonah's sermon. Well, I should probably say five Hebrew words. It's actually eight words in the English NIV translation. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That is Jonah's sermon to the people of Nineveh. Five Hebrew words, just five, to the point, direct, probably offensive, sure to cause a stir. And let's be honest, you might be sitting there today and thinking, Pastor Brian, a five-word sermon, could you just do a five-word sermon? That would be great. We would just prefer a five-word sermon. And the answer is, English is a much more complicated language. I can't do that. Just kidding. The answer is, in all honesty, I'm not sure that the church today is ready to hear a message as direct as Jonah's. And in this, I'm not entirely kidding. Right? Are we willing to hear? Are we willing to hear that our ways will be judged harshly if we don't repent? If we don't turn away from our selfishness, turn away from our abandonment of true discipleship, of truly being followers of Jesus for a comfortable church that we want that meets our needs. Repent of the systems in our world today that we're a part of that oppress and hurt some so that others can prosper. Our divisiveness, repent of our divisiveness and lack of humility. If I stood here today, and I get this isn't five words, but if I stood here today and just kept saying over and over again, not much longer living this way with hatred and name-calling and self-righteousness and judgment, divisiveness and arrogance, everybody sure they're right and others are wrong, and our country will be decimated. How would the church react? How would you react? If I just said over and over again, if we spend much longer living this way with hatred and name-calling and self-righteousness and judgment and divisiveness and arrogance, everybody's sure they're right and that others are wrong, our country and our world will be decimated. How would we react to that message? Five Hebrew words lie at the heart of the message. But I wonder if the context around that message, the context of this story of where Jonah is and where the Ninevites are, I wonder if this can show us even more about God and about us. We start in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. In the Bible story of Jonah, God asked him to go and do something. And instead, Jonah runs away, which leads to a really important question at this point in the story. Why do you think God didn't just find someone else to go to Nineveh and preach God's word there? Right? Why go to all the trouble of sending a storm and a fish to try and get Jonah to turn around? Did Jonah deserve a second chance? Or think about it this way, would you give somebody a second chance? Would you give somebody an important task if the first time you asked them to do something, they said no and they ran the other direction? Right? Would you ask them again? You wouldn't, would you? Would you trust someone who had abandoned you in the past with an important task or something that could impact lives? I'm guessing no. And yet, And yet the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time, a second chance. So if you don't hear anything else today, I hope you'll hear this. God has a purpose for your life. And God will offer you a second chance. And to be honest, a third and a fourth and a fifth to live into that purpose. In fact, God will keep pursuing you because whether you know it or not, God has a meaning and a purpose for your life, a part to play in God's bigger story. So if you haven't given your life to following Jesus, if you haven't said yes to that purpose that the Holy Spirit's been whispering into your heart, if you found yourself having said yes to Jesus but being disobedient to what God is calling you to do, or maybe trapped in habits that you don't feel like you can break and that you know are sinful or hurtful, God will come to you. God's word will come to you again and again and again. And the question is, when you're offered that second chance by God, will you take it? Will you go and follow where God leads? Because my guess is that there are some of us hearing this message this morning, some of you hearing this message who know, you know that God has something for you to do. Right? You've sensed the Holy Spirit saying, make a life change right now. Or you've sensed God saying that there's somebody you need to reach out to. Somebody where you need to mend a relationship, or maybe the Holy Spirit has been telling you to give something away or to give of yourself or your time, or maybe it's been calling you to repent of some sin or to make something right, and you've thought, you know, like maybe it's too late for me, for my life. Or maybe you thought, you know, God's been on this a long time. Maybe God doesn't really care about that anymore. But here's the thing. God doesn't give up on you so easily. Stand with Jonah for a moment on that shore, right? Covered in fish goop. All right, it's not the best picture I know. But stand with Jonah for a moment. He's covered in fish goop. And you're thinking, well, now that was an experience, being in the belly of a fish. And hopefully now it's behind me. And probably you're thinking, well, yeah, surely God has found somebody else to go to Nineveh by now. It's probably too late now, right? Wrong. God has continued to pursue you. Because God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And what did Jonah do? In verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. That's how verse 3 starts. Jonah obeyed. And then the story goes on. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Let me take a quick aside here to answer a question that people always ask when we're in chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. The story says it took 3 days to go through Nineveh, and people are like, is the 3 significant in any way? Certainly the 3 echoes in other scriptures, but here's how the 3 matters to this story. It lets you know that it's a 3 days walk around Nineveh. That means it's a big city. History tells us that Nineveh likely had 100,000 people around that time. Now picture that for a moment and realize it's 100,000 people living in a city without high-rises, so that they're not packed together in high-rises. They may be packed together in smaller living units. Actually, we have a really great way to have just a sense of what God is asking Jonah to do if we just look at South Bend. Imagine that Jonah is being asked to walk around all of South Bend, the 100,000 or so people who live in South Bend, and knock on doors and let all of them know this message from God. It's kind of crazy to think about, right? But verse 3 shows us that Jonah, he'd learned from his first adventure. And now he was ready to take the second chance that God was offering. He obeyed the word of the Lord. He let the Holy Spirit speak into his life. And then it says in verse 4 that Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city. Now, the Hebrew here is fun. The word for began is chalalbo. And by the way, my Hebrew pronunciation is awful, so if you hear a Hebrew scholar pronounce this differently, go with how they pronounce it. But chalalbo is the word used in Hebrew for began or started. But it also has another meaning. It means to untie or loosen. This is one of those moments that our English translation misses something important. In obeying God's word, right? What the Hebrew signifies is that Jonah, he didn't just begin, but he was untied from those things that were holding him back. He was loosened from those idols that had his attention so he could follow God's call in his life. Right? Jonah's selfishness, his ego, his need for control, all those things led him the first time to run away from God. Jonah was limited by himself. But the second time, the second chance that Jonah has, because he's ready to listen to the word of God, he's ready to follow where the Spirit is calling him to go, the second time Jonah is able to let go of his selfishness, his pride, his control over what would happen. What do you need to let go of? What do you need to let go of to follow where God is calling you, is leading you? Jonah, right, he marches into Nineveh and he shares those five Hebrew words. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. And actually, these five Hebrew words, they can be interpreted in two ways. They could mean 40 more days and you will be destroyed, overturned. Or they can mean 40 more days and you will be changed. In the Hebrew, it's as though Jonah is saying, you have a choice. In 40 days, you can just keep going like you're going and everything will be turned over and there'll be destruction. Or you can turn to God and you'll be changed. You choose. And what happens next is interesting. The Ninevites listened. It makes one wonder why. Like these people going down a wrong path, these people who are the enemy of Jonah, like why did they listen to him? Is it, I mean, maybe they saw like what he looked like with, you know, covered in fish guts and smelling and walking around and looking awful, and they thought, you know, anybody willing to go through something like that to get to us to share this word, they must have something to say. Or maybe they thought, man, if that's what God put him through and he's a prophet of God, then what will God do to us if we don't listen? So we don't really know what went through their minds, but we do know this. The Ninevites heard God. Now, notice, the story doesn't say they heard Jonah. The story says they heard God through Jonah. And they repented. They asked for a second chance. Jonah's yes to the Lord. Jonah's yes to do what God was calling him to do didn't make it so others could just hear him. His yes allowed others to encounter God through him. Think about that for just a moment. Right? Your yes to following where God leads might just lead others to encounter God through you. Let me say that again. Your yes to listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you might just lead others to hear God, to experience God through you. It's a pretty awesome thought, isn't it? Jonah's message, it spread. Where it says, when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Are people encountering God through us? I've got to admit today, I've been really wrestling with that question for a while now, particularly in this crazy time. And I get that defining what it means to be the church right now is strange and different, and yet this question, it feels so important. Are we living in a way that calls others to know and accept God's love? Are you living in a way that calls others to know and accept God's love? Am I living in a way that calls others to know and accept God's love? Or are we so absorbed with how the church serves us, with what we're getting out of our church experience, with waiting for the church to come and find us, that we've lost the prophetic voice? We've lost the voice that shows people God's grace through us. This question, in some ways, it haunts me. And I know when I share a personal word like this, some of you will have this urge to reach out, and I so appreciate this. Some of you will have this urge to reach out and say, just sort of assure me about the ministry of Clay Church, and I appreciate it. I really do. I'm asking those of you today that feel that temptation, though, not to do that. Instead, starting with myself, I'm challenging us to hear an invitation from God in this question. Are we ready to say yes to whatever God has in store for us? To go wherever God sends us, to sacrifice whatever God asks of us so that others will see God's grace through us. I'm inviting us to dig into Jonah and just let this question challenge us, resonate within us. Are we ready to say yes to whatever God has in store for us, to really listen for what God has in store for us? And then to go wherever God sends us, to sacrifice whatever we need to go, to follow, so that others will see God's grace through us. Are we ready to be a church that isn't about how great the message is, or how perfect the music is, or how the programs serve me, but about how we're living proof of Jesus in the world? Are we willing to stop being victims of the world and what's happening and instead be disciples who weather the storms and find joy because we know that God is with us? If Jesus is Lord of all, if we believe that, then Jesus is Lord of our lives. And if we truly believe that, and if we want the world to know that, then our lives must reflect that truth, and we have to take up our cross and follow. As Jonah follows where God leads, as Jonah says what God put on his heart to say, the Ninevites, they turn to God. What happens when we invite people to know God, to know Jesus? They get to see what we know, which is God is a God of compassion and a God of mercy. Right? Our God is a God of second chances. Our God is a God who sent Jesus to show us the extent of the love that God has for us. And Jesus will later talk to his followers about the sign of Jonah. Which makes me wonder, what will be our sign? The sign of the church today. What will the sign of your life say to others about God's love? Will it show others a God of mercy and compassion? Will it show others a God of second chances? Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for being a God of mercy and compassion. And we gather now, Lord, and we pray for your forgiveness. Forgive us for our complacency. Forgive us for our self-centeredness. Forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for the times that we have turned away from you, the times when we've heard the nudge of your Holy Spirit and ignored it. And God, as we gather wherever we are today, remind us that you come to us over and over again, that you are a God of second chances, and that you invite us over and over and over again to follow where you lead and experience the joy that it is to be part of your work in the world and your kingdom. Speak to our hearts, God. Break them open with your love. And God, light the fire of passion in us to be Jesus in a world that desperately needs to know you. To love recklessly and to give generously. God, we pray together today, let our lives, let my life, be a sign to others of your mercy and compassion, now and always. Amen and amen.